This is Pastor Greg Cumby from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
My come to impart the Holy Spirit sending. In trouble he will comfort you and teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide.
From God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we've seen throughout the Advent season, during this topical series, an angel again comes as a heavenly messenger with a simple but very powerful word straight from the Almighty. The message this time refers to a sign to reveal, to guide, and to give hope of God's presence. Now, technically, this one angel appeared out in the field to the shepherds alongside the entire multitude of heavenly hosts, if you read it carefully. But his place here, singled out from the rest, sitting much closer to the other figures we know in this scene, reminds us of this individual announcement found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." What a tremendous honor the shepherds have to be selected by God to hear this message from his angel. And a surprise, especially that God would make this announcement to people at the time considered to be on the lower end of social status. But where would these men find this infant in the entire city of David? What would this great person look like? Would he be in the palace of a prince attended by servants? Would they see him surrounded by powerful armies parading through a city? Would his cradle be illuminated with some type of glow or light in the darkness? If God has indeed come among them, then how could they know it for sure? So the angel gives them a sign. It's important to understand, hope is only kept alive as long as you and I have directions. If we have a general idea of where we are going. If we know to find what we need to find out we're shown where God is at work. And the sign the angel gives to validate this ancient prophecy to Ahaz when it was first given was from Isaiah 7. A sign of the Lord his God, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. St. John records seven signs our Lord gave to give witness regarding who he was and why he came. He said if he would have recorded everything, the entire world could not contain it, so he gives us seven. The first one is he miraculously changed water into wine, showing command for creation and a desire for joy. Second, he heals the official son who was deadly ill, reversing sin's curse. Third, he heals again. This time he heals a paralytic at the Bethesda pool. Next, he feeds 5,000 with only 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, showing himself to be a miraculous provider. Fifth, he walks on the surface of the Sea of Galilee at night during a storm. Sixth, he restores the sight of a blind man. And then as a final great sign, pointing to a greater miracle to come. We read in chapter 11 that he raised his friend Lazarus from the grave. All seven signs demonstrate that God the Father was active in Jesus, and that the kingdom of God had indeed broken into time and space. But you see, there's different ways you and I can use the word sign. There are good ways and there are invalid ways. When the Jews demanded a sign from Jesus, it's obvious that they were looking, at least the majority of them at this time, for something altogether different. Jesus points them to the messianic prophecies. He points them to crucifixion and resurrection, the true sign of God's love and work. But we're told in John 2:18 throughout the book, they do not understand. Now, in some cases, if you read this, you see genuine confusion. But for most of the people in the crowds, it wasn't genuine confusion. It was willful ignorance. I don't know whether it's good or bad, but the older I get, the less inclined I am to share the truth with people who have no interest in hearing it. And this applies even to Christians insofar many believers have what could be called an a la carte approach to the scripture and what governs their life. But people often miss the real sign and claim they will not believe unless they see signs and wonders, as the phrase John uses in John 4. A part of this came from the fact the sign from heaven was so surprisingly simple. It was so seemingly common. How many more babies were born in the country that night? It was so ordinary. Jesus came as one of us. And as the shepherds prepare to leave their flocks and to head out to Bethlehem, we wonder, who would look for a newborn child in a manger as being this great messianic promise and sign of God? I don't think most of us would have. How many today still look for signs and wonders and excitement and glitter to assure them of God's work and presence, and they miss the one sure sign where they can find him? How many people become completely lost in their own emotions, their own need for the spectacular, and they walk right past the God in front of them? So God sends an angel, a personal messenger, to show them that this night is where God is going to reveal himself. An angel who speaks with God's own authority, that they see the face, the ordinary little one to come, the Savior, the Messiah. And even in its apparent simplicity, this sign would be good news of great joy to those who found it. The shepherds would head off to Bethlehem to tell the world of the sign, and we are told that many people wondered and marveled at what they told them. The shepherds would have gone back to their jobs completely changed men. There's no way they could have ever forgotten this interchange. They returned, Luke tells us, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told to them. You see, they had seen God's giving sign. In faith, they see it, God among them. They know that as unbelievable as it might seem, this tiny newborn child will one day grow up to become a man, to become the deliverer of the world from sin, death, and the power of hell. Now, during this time, I doubt they understood fully how he would accomplish this by his suffering, death, and resurrection. But they know with confidence that he will deliver them, because the angel came from on high, proclaimed it, and by faith they accepted God at his word. And so now these shepherds have true hope. So many in our world today wonder where God is. All you have to do is perform a search on the internet, and you pull out all types of things. I think part of the reason why is that so much of what we see and live can feel godless and sometimes even God-forsaken. And because God often appears not in our comfort, God usually appears hidden in our suffering. People are distracted by evil or hardship, and they only see darkness and emptiness, and they don't see Christ. Because God is pleased to reveal himself in the most common ways that you and I would never think of, they are offended, they are put off, and they say, I'm waiting for a more impressive sign. And so the baby in a manger becomes the man hanging from a cross, one looking weak and helpless, the other looking weaker and more helpless. Apart from faith, neither one would have been a very impressive sight. So people see the sign, but they see it apart from faith and the message from the messenger from heaven. We think of simple water. Water without the word is only water, Luther reminds us. But combined with God's word, it becomes saving water. Any sign apart from the word of God leaves us looking for more, and it leaves us lost. To truly hope, a theme with which we began this entire Advent journey, we must be assured that God is truly for us and with us in Christ. Because ultimately, when life's storms come to us, nothing else brings real hope. This was true for Zechariah and Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. And we must be able to find Christ in the midst of a broken and very common world where God's presence is not always seemingly obvious. We must be able to find him in the fog of doubt and the false screen of the world's deceptions. And we must be able to see him as he is despite our fears and hesitation of believing the humanly impossible. But we must also listen to the message of heaven as we see the sign of the messenger reveals. Along with Good Friday and Easter, Christmas is called as one of the twin peaks in the sacred calendar of annual worship. It's considered to be a high point in the revelation of God. This is the day we first see God in human flesh living among us in this fallen world. This day is foundational to how you and I worship the rest of our lives and for eternity, and how you and I encounter God. Too much of what passes as worship today is nothing more than simple entertainment. Don't get me wrong, there's a place for good, wholesome entertainment, but not during a divine service. But when we come to this place, gathered together looking for God, you and I need to look outside of ourselves. If we look within ourselves, all we find is frustration and despair. We need to learn to look outside our own hearts, beyond our own ideas and our own wishful desires. We need to listen carefully, not to the confused voice in our heads, but to the voice of the angel who speaks from heaven with God's authority. You know, it's interesting. In the book of Revelation, God calls, in the Greek language, God calls the pastors who preach his word angels, agalos, messengers of the heavenly sign, the seven angels. And you think about it, the messenger in the pulpit may seem to be an ordinary speaker, not so different from us, because he's not. But we listen to the words that God has called him and commissioned him to share. As you hold within your hands in a few moments the very body of Christ, crucified in the bread that you eat, and as your lips taste the very blood of Christ shed on the cross and the wine that you drink, you will once again see a sign that the angel revealed, that Jesus is God made flesh. This is the same one who laid in the manger as a newborn. This is the true presence of God who has come not just to earth and not just to Bethlehem, but to our space and time here in Winchester, Virginia, wrapped in human flesh. So where is God? He's here like he always is. He is here among us where the angel said he would be, the sign of the word made flesh. And that again is the heart of our hope. Throughout these holy weeks, we've seen the angels brought not only a message, but true hope by addressing the enemies of hope, doubt and fear. We heard them echo God's eternal voice by assuring us that with God nothing is impossible. And Gabriel announced the miracle of conception of our Lord in Mary's womb. We then sang with a multitude of heavenly hosts last night as they announced God's true peace for all who believe in this newly born Prince of Peace. And finally, today, we are drawn to the precise place where that hope is to be found and realized, the Word enfleshed in Jesus Christ. Hope always looks to the future. Hope does not remain lost in the past. What we have seen and heard then, and even today, will provide us with true light in the days to come if we let it. And because it is anchored in the certain promises of our holy God, that hope can never be disappointed. And so hope, even in the worst of times, endures. It endures because it is in Christ, the eternal Son of God, revealed before us today to hear and to see and to touch and to taste and to worship. This Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined and broken humanity. There is hope of pardon. There is hope of peace with God. And there is hope of God's presence. It is the most wonderful message that the world has ever heard. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, my God. Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy help and salvation. Join the full throng, wake harp and psalter and song, sound forth in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, who as on wings of an eagle uplifteth, sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires all have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who hath fearfully, wondrously made thee, health hath vouchsafed, and when heedlessly falling hath saved thee. What need or grief ever hath failed of relief, rings of his mercy did shake thee. Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee, who from the streams of his mercy doth send thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with his love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore. Praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly for they we adore him.
This is Pastor Greg Cumby. Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.